I'm back. Back to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Okay, theme for the month. Right, March. That's how we've never done it. What kind of a theme is that? I know, I listened in, right? Last week I heard Reverend Jean say that was a real head scratcher. And it kind of is, right? That's how we've never done it. Okay, but what I did was I looked at it like, change your thinking, change your life. Right? That's the way we've never done it. I mean, that's what we are encouraged to do, right? That's how we've never done it. Change your thinking, change your life is another version, I think, of that. I remember back when I was a PTA mom, we were, you know, heavily invested in raising money. Any PTA moms or dads, right? That's what we did. You know, we helped raise money for the school for extracurricular activities, whatever, whatever. And so we were always looking for something new. We were always looking for a different way to raise money, something new and exciting where people would, you know, buy into. And there was a term we used to, the phrase we used to use as PTA moms. It said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. Right? You remember that? Okay, a big PTA thing. And really what it was doing was encouraging us to do something different. Right? If you're going to raise money, do a different fundraiser. Do something different, something that people haven't seen. Try something different. Go, you know, think outside the box. Get a new approach. And that's what I think this theme for the month is really telling us. I think that's the same thing, right? That's how we've never done it before. It's looking at ways, looking at things in different ways so that we can change our thinking and change our lives, right? To challenge those old preconceived notions and beliefs that we hold, maybe that we've held for a lot of our adulthood, right? This is the way I do it. This is the way I always do it, right? You know, and it's good because it's comfortable and I'll be happy doing it this way. But will you? Right? We don't, right? Maybe. I don't know. If I do it this way, that'll fix it. But will it? You know, after a while you start thinking, I don't know. Sometimes we do things the same way over and over because we've had experience in the past that was the way it worked, so we just keep doing them over and over the same way. But sometimes we get stuck, and we keep doing things the same way, but expecting it to turn out differently somehow. Isn't that right? Isn't that Einstein's, right? That famous quote about the definition of insanity is doing things over and over the same way and expecting different results. And I think we do that. We get stuck, right? So if we want to change our thinking, change our life, right? If you feel stuck in a certain area of your life or you're not experiencing the kind of ease and love and joy and success in a part of your life and you want to change that, how do you go about doing it? You know, how do you go about doing it? So where I started was, well, what am I doing now that's not working? Right? Do you do that? I don't know. I think it's a great idea. We have these cognitive distortions that we operate with all the time, and see if any of these maybe sound familiar to you. Okay, so one of the cognitive distortions is an all or nothing thing. Did you ever do that, right? Well, if I can't do this right the first time, I'm just never doing it. You know, we don't give ourselves that time to learn. You know, it's like, I'm gonna take up painting. Well, I better paint like Van Gogh first time out, you know, or I'm gonna take music lessons and then I wanna play like Mozart or something, you know, and it's like, oh, if I don't, I'm a failure. Can't do it. Give it up, forget it, all or nothing. Anybody have that or held that in the past? Okay, you know, and we do that. Overgeneralizing, right? Overgeneralizing is another distortion. Oh, he always does whatever, whatever, or she never blah, 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 is on time, or these always never things, these overgeneralizations. Any of those sound familiar? Okay. How about mental filters? This is a good one. Mental filters, we home in on one negative thing in an otherwise outstanding day and event, right? You pick the one negative thing. This was mine. This was mine from years ago. I could have a lovely Sunday and I could give a talk and everybody could tell me how great it was. And you know, the whole morning is going and hospitality is great. And somebody comes up to me and goes, you know, those shoes don't match that outfit. And that's it. The rest of the day, I'm driving home going, the shoes didn't match the outfit, the shoes didn't match the outfit, the shoes didn't match. Right? We do that to ourselves, right? We do it. Okay, another, that's mental filter. So think about that. Think about the times you did it, right? I can't be the only one. Come on. Okay. Thank you. discounting the positives. This is something we do quite often, right? It all works out perfectly, and you go, God is good. God is great. I'm so blessed. And it comes out really, really crappy, and you go, it's all my fault. Right? You don't blame God. Oh, God, it's all me. It's all me. When it comes out bad, it's me. When it comes out good, it's God. So you never get credit for anything, right? That's discounting the positive. Another cognitive distortion, jumping to conclusions. Anybody? Sometimes that's the only exercise I get. Jumping to conclusions. Ambiguous things can be interpreted negatively, just in your own head, because it's the story you tell yourself, right? I told you, we all have graduate degrees from MSU. Making stuff up. Making stuff up. We do. We fill in the blanks, because we're storytellers. That's what we do. So something ambiguous happens, you go, well, you know what that means, don't you? I'm never going to get that raise. You know, or whatever it is, right? We interpret things negatively that are really basically unknowns. And then there is the cognitive distortion of control. Is there anybody here that has like the illusion of control in their lives? Oh my God. If that person would just change, I would be so happy. Right? And you know, it's so funny too, because we are here walking this spiritual path together, learning these spiritual tools in order to change our lives. And do you know how difficult it is to change your own life? And then we think for some reason we're going to change somebody else's. We can hardly change our own lives. And we think, oh, if I can only change them, I'll be happy. Yeah, doesn't happen. Control. Yeah, okay. And there's another one, magnification or catastrophizing. Anybody? Mountain molehill, right? Is this really the hill you want to die on? You know, when you think about things, right? When you think about things, really, is this going to matter in 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 10 years, right? Think about the things we make huge, huge mountains out of. And when you look at them again, you think, maybe not. And the other cognitive distortion we have are the shoulds. Anybody have the shoulda, woulda, couldas? Ugh, I dislike that one. Shoulda. It's just a way to beat ourselves up. Really, just a way to, you know, instead of just moving on, it's a way to beat ourselves up. And then there's labeling. Anybody? She's bossy. He's grumpy. They're clicky. There's always like this labeling. We want to put people in boxes and we reduce them to one facet of their personality, right? We think of ourselves as diamonds. We are these gorgeous gems with all of these facets, you know, and then we reduce people to one facet, just one thing. They do one thing and you go, look at that person. They're grumpy, right? You know, I think that's really what that, I don't even know what number it is, one of the Ten Commandments about not bearing false witness against someone, that's really what they're talking about. Not lying about people, but it's when we reduce these marvelous gems that we are, right, into one facet, one particular thing, one behavior that they've exhibited. That's bearing false witness, isn't it? Because we're not seeing them for the entire beautiful image of God that they are. Anyway, labeling. Another cognitive distortion is blame. Anybody engage in that? Oh, God, it's all my fault. Oh, I messed up again. Oh, I'll never do it. The Velcro hand. Even when things are outside of your control, you still take the blame for them? Did you ever do that? Like the weather? I'm so sorry it rained. Really? It rained. That's what it did, you know, whatever. And then the last one is the ever popular and seldom talked about imposter syndrome. Anybody? I know the millennials talk about this a lot, the imposter syndrome. If anybody ever knew, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Holy moly, I'll be kicked out. If anybody knew, I don't know what I'm doing up here. I'd be kicked out, right? The imposter syndrome. Anybody recognize any of those? We do them, and we do them sort of automatically, without even thinking. We participate in a lot of those behaviors, a lot of those cognitive distortions, and we go round and around and around and around, and we keep doing them over and over and expecting different results, right? That's what we do. So what do we do? So what to do? And that, by the way, is the title of this talk. So finally got there. So what to do? If we've always done what we've always done and we're always going to get what we always got, how do we change that? What do we do? It's time. It is time to change things up, isn't it? You want a little change your thinking, change your life? It is time to change whatever part of your life that you're not satisfied with, that whatever part of your life that you're not experiencing the love, the joy, the you know, expression, the creativity, whatever it is. Time to change that up. And Ernest Holmes wrote this. He wrote, I love this. This is the why of success. And he said this, the science of mind is the science of right thinking. At our institute, to say this was even before it was a church, it was an institute. At our institute, thousands are learning how to change their thinking, how to work out their problems, how to help themselves and others. You too can live a successful and happy life if you take the time to learn a few fundamental principles about the science of mind and apply those principles in your life. That's the catch, isn't it? Because we learn about them, we read about them, we take classes about them. It's about applying them in our lives, actually using them. You want to do something different and get different results, this is what we do. We have to begin to actually use these principles that we've been given by Dr. Holmes. We must no longer be content just about reading about them or talking about them or coming to Sunday celebration and hearing about them. We have to actually employ them in our everyday lives, make them habits in our lives. And he went on to say this. He said, now the power of this God mind exists everywhere, just like electric energy. It's not enough to recognize that it exists. We must make definite use of it. That use that we make of it is what we call the science of mind. See, that's what we're doing. That is what we're doing. That's what this philosophy is. That's what this practice is. So let's do it, right? Let's be about doing it. You know, it's about changing your thinking. It really is. And that is a practice. It doesn't just like happen like that once. Do you go to the gym just once? Right? You don't go to the gym just once. Hey, lifted a couple of weights. I'm done. Phew. Glad I don't have to do that ever again, you know? Phew. You know that 1 hour we lost? This past weekend, we're spring ahead. That was the hour I was going to go to the gym. Oh, well. It happens. Anyway, Dr. Katz, Duke University, he's a neurobiologist. He coined the term neurobics. I love it. All right? Have you read about him? Neurobics. Neurons, brain cells. Aerobics, exercise. Brain exercise. I love it. Neurobics. Doing things for the first time. I ask this question periodically. When was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you engaged in beginner's brain? I've never done this before. I'm going to try it out. You don't stop doing that when you reach adulthood. We have to be growing and changing and growing and changing. I did change the car. Boy, that's a science in itself. Making the car clock go forward an hour. I need an advanced degree, you know. But I changed it forward, and then I put it on 24-hour clock instead of 12-hour clock. So there's no AM, PM. Now it's like 12 o'clock, 1300. Wait, 1400, 15. Wait, what? I don't know that kind of time. I just don't know it. Anybody in the military, you know what that time is. I don't know what that time is. And I was like, oh, I got to get back to the AM, PM thing. And then I went, no, wait. Here's a great opportunity. Here's a great opportunity for me to learn something new. What time is 1600? I haven't a clue, but I'm going to learn, right? I'm going to learn it now. Okay, great idea. Great idea. Give it a try. Do something that you've never done before. Try something you've never done before. I know Paul in our resource center, he's taking music lessons. It's like, do something different, right? I've never taken music lessons, but I think I'd like to learn. Engaging that beginner's brain. I love it. It's a way, right? It's a way not to be stuck, not to break out of all of those cognitive distortions that we automatically do. And I would invite you to give it a try. Journaling. Now, let me just say this. I'm not a fan. Okay? Journaling. Great. Give it a try. I am personally not a fan. Now, I do it because it's good for me. Well, that's what they say, right? But give it a try. If you're not doing it, give it a try, right? Do something different. What I do like about journaling is you find in things about yourself. When you start writing, it's like, I didn't even think I thought that. But you find out things about yourself. So journaling, give it a try. I just think it's good. It can change the way you look at things. Make a new habit. And I got this from Kathy Ann Lewis. She said that she was like, just one day a week. Just make one day a week a special day. She said, I like Thanksgiving Thursdays. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. Because Thanksgiving is on a Thursday in November. But what if we made every Thursday just Thanksgiving Thursday? You just got up on Thursday morning and you're just thankful for everything. Just giving thanks for everything. Just one day a week. Give it a shot. Right? We make this stuff up as we go along. Do you see? We do. But wouldn't that be lovely? Just like one day a week, give it a shot. Wake up and just be thankful for everything on Thursday. Eat the good stuff, the not so good stuff, the stuff in between, the stuff you don't even care about. Just be grateful for all of it. Why not? Give it a try. Make a new habit. Right? Make a new habit. And I think that's a lovely one. Change I have to into I get to. That one's been around for a long time, but how many of us do it? I mean, I have to comes right out of our mouths really fast, doesn't it? Without even thinking, oh, I have to go to the store. Oh, I have to go food shopping. Oh, I have to, right? I get to. Just that one little change can change how you think about the day. Change I have to into I get to. Turn problems into challenges. I have this problem. I have this thing, right? No, it's like, I have this challenge. And it just makes it even sound better. We have to ask better questions. Anne, I know that's your favorite thing. Ask better questions, right? What is this thing, challenge/problem, whatever it is, what is it calling me to be? What is it calling me to do? What is it calling me to become? Right? This thing, this obstacle thing that I think is an obstacle, it's just a challenge. What is it asking of me? Right? I think that's just a lovely thing. I was at my sister's house. I was getting ready to leave Saturday morning, and I was like, we're having coffee, and it's just lovely, and I have a lot of time, and then I'm going to go take a shower, and then I'll leisurely pack. I have all the time in the world. And then I get a text from the airline that my flight's been canceled. Now, in what could be like a freak-out moment, it was just like, oh, plot twist. Really all it is, right? Plot twist. Okay, what are we going to do with this? This is like, it's not a problem, it's a challenge. Okay, let's write something else. And then the other thing I want to talk about is intentions. Set big intentions. Big, hairy, audacious, bold intentions. Set a big, giant intention. Now, and remember, an intention is not a goal. Right? We know this. Intention is not a goal. It's not something you write down on a piece of paper. It's not something you check off when you accomplish it. A goal is a set of things, right? It's a set of things. And then you have to get stuff like that needs fixing. That's a goal, right? I got this stuff I need fixing. So I'm going to set a goal and I'm going to fix my stuff. And then when I fix the stuff, I can check off on my list. I fix the stuff. And you know what that does for us? It gives us more things to fix. You set like an ever list, long list of fixing stuff. More things you have to fix, the more things it gives you to fix. No, I'm talking about a big, giant intention that you create in your mind until you see it in your life. Right? Those big, giant intentions, and you approach them as if they are done. You know that they are manifesting, even though you can't see them, even if you don't know what they are. You hold on to them in mind. You live your life until you see them in the reality in front of your face. And if you don't have an intention, because some of us don't, it's like, what's your big giant intention? And you go, If you don't have a big intention, hush up. Just, you're doing this and you need to be doing this. Sit in the silence. If you don't have an intention, sit in the silence. Because what I know is, when I am really silent, my heart speaks to me. And I will be given an intention. And it will not only make my life better, but it will grow me in the process. Spend time in the silence and let your heart speak to you. In Psalm 40, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know what the real words are, but anyway, it says, I waited patiently on the Lord, right? And God turned to me and heard my cry and also brought me up out of this horrible pit. We've been there, right? And out of the muck and mire, set my feet upon a rock and established my steps, and God put a new song in my mouth. That's what we do when we sit in the silence. We wait upon Spirit to give us that, and it does. Spirit does. Spirit will be heard in the silence. We have to practice these principles. We have to sit in the silence. I know everybody just loves getting on the meditation cushion, right? No, I know. I hear you. I listen. I really do. And I can't meditate. And I can't sit still. Whatever. Do it anyway, right? Do it anyway. Sit on the meditation cushion waiting for nothing to happen. That's it. Just do it. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, very frequently, I sit alone for 2 hours and I listen to the silence until it speaks, and I look into the darkness until it is light, and there is no question about it. That's what to do. That is what to do. And then maybe we've tried it before. Have you tried it before? Have you sat in the silence until it's right? Maybe we've tried it before, and maybe that's not how you've done it before, but give it a shot. Either way, give it a try, because the universe always says yes. The universe always says yes, right? I'm reminded, remember the prayer of Jabez? I know that was really, really big a couple of years ago. They made books about it, and they held classes about it, and they did all kinds of workshops on it. And it's a very simple, little tiny prayer. It was in the Bible somewhere. Chronicles. It's in Chronicles. And he says, and Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And God granted him his request. Easy, simple. Boy, if that's not an affirmative prayer, I don't know what is. That is exactly what that is, right? Beautiful prayer, so simple. Bless my life, bless my life. That's the affirmation. Enlarge my territory, what does that mean? Expand my consciousness, right? Expand my consciousness, my good, tangible and intangible. Let your hand be with me, Spirit with me, right? As me, in me, around me, that you keep me from evil. Well, we know evil it means mistakes, right? Mistakes. Keep me from messing up. Thank you. I like that part, right? That I may not cause pain. First, do no harm, right? Let's play nicely with each other, right? Let's not cause harm. What a lovely, sweet, affirmative prayer. And God granted his request. Why? Because the universe always says yes. We've got to ask the better questions, right? Like Anne said, right? Got to ask the better questions. And God granted his request. Because the universe always says yes. Is this an abundance prayer? Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's how they sold it, right? Back a couple of years ago when they were selling all those books. Oh, you'll get wealthy beyond your wildest mean. You'll get this, you'll get that. Meh. It really isn't. What is it? It's an affirmative prayer. It's a consciousness prayer. Expand my consciousness so I can do more good, so I can be more good. And yeah, maybe have more good as well. Perhaps we've never done it like that before. Perhaps that's the way we've never done it. It's time. It's time to do it that way, isn't it? I want to finish up with this Ernest quote. He said, "There is no individual good. All good is individualized. Good belongs to everyone. Good fulfills itself only as it multiplies itself. Therefore, there is no good which belongs to you or to me alone. No final peace to us, only as individuals. Our watchword is not exclusion, but inclusion. And the more good we loose upon the world, the more good we experience. We are all parts of one tremendous whole whose nature is God. It is this divine nature, this inevitable union, that we should consciously walk and talk with the infinite until it becomes dynamic and real to us and peoples our life on earth with the images of the kingdom of God." That is what to do. That is what to do. And let's do it like we've never done it before. Thank you so much.